This is The Coaching Inn, a podcast from 3D Coaching. Hello, welcome to The Coaching Inn. I'm Claire Pedrick, and today I'm in conversation with Anne-Marie Cross. So Anne-Marie contacted me through LinkedIn, and I never reply to those requests. And something about her made me say yes. Anne-Marie's in Australia, and it's great to have you here today. Tell us more about you, Anne-Marie.
Oh, thank you, Claire. And I am so thankful and grateful that you did connect, because we've had incredible conversation already. And it's interesting, isn't it, from the opposite sides of the world, yet with the technology that we have available, we can connect with people wherever they are, as long as they have internet. Indeed. And in this case, of course, Zoom. So yes, Anne-Marie Cross, I have started my business in career coaching, in the area of personal branding, helping people stand out, of course, get noticed and then get paid what they're worth in their dream job. Then transitioned into working with entrepreneurs in the whole realm of the coaching in the career industry, started a podcast, and the rest is history. It's an area that I love now, and in supporting other coaches and in launching and getting their message out in a much bigger way.
And I think that's really important, isn't it? Because I think as much as we focus on the art of being amazing coaches, if we haven't got anyone to work with, exactly, we can't really use that to its fullest.
Yes, it's so important. And you know what? I got trained as a career coach in the area of careers. And then we have our certificate. We're trained in different modalities, how to support clients. And then it's, well, what do I do next? And you have to market yourself, which, as you say, it's a whole different skill set. And then there's that whole, not just marketing, but sales, you know. And for many of us who are coaches, and I struggled with that for years, having that sales conversation, why should I hire you? And it was like, I don't know, just I would love to work with you, you know. And so there's strategies, there's certain things that we can do to continue to really build that know, like, and trust. And it's important that we do that as coaches. Otherwise, our ideal client doesn't realize that we have the solution. We've got the ability to be able to support them, and they'll remain stuck. So it's important as coaches, we also learn how to market our services.
Yeah, totally. And I had a conversation with one of our students the other day who said, you know, that commercial marketing thing doesn't work for me. And I said, well, there are many ways of doing it. You don't have to do it that way. Although I did notice on social media the other day that somebody was charging, I think it was £2,000 for coaches,
right,
for a commercial marketing training,
yes,
which I thought was interesting, because I did one of those. Not, it didn't cost that much. But actually, if I honestly, hand on heart, say, did it serve me? It didn't really, because it was so dissonant with what's important to me. Because you can sell coaching without selling, can't you?
You can. And it's all about storytelling. And it's interesting, because when I transitioned from working with executives and professionals in the career industry and then to entrepreneurs, because many of them hit that glass ceiling and thought, you know, with the body of knowledge that I have, if I add some coaching skills to that, I can support others and start my own business. And then they realize, well, they have marketing to be able to become familiar and comfortable with. There are similarities between executives saying, how can I sell myself? It sounds, and I know in the UK is similar to Australia, we think, I don't want to big note myself. I don't want to pat myself on the back. But what I used to explain to executives, which I also explain now to coaches, is we're storytelling. We're sharing tidbits of knowledge that we know is going to add real value into the lives of our ideal customers as we're speaking and giving insights into what they can do. And then, you know, through that conversation, helping them see what is possible. And then through doing that, they'll realize where the gaps are. And if that's your ideal client, you can just say, look, I would love to be able to support you with that. May I share a little bit more on how we can do that? Now, the decision to whether or not they want to move forward, that's entirely up to the, you know, up to them. But it is conversational. It's storytelling. You don't have to big note yourself at all, which for many executives, and then of course now coaches, they go, phew, because I don't want to do that and put myself on a pedestal. But what you do want to do do is to be able to share how you might be able to support someone in going from where they're stuck to where they're more knowledgeable and able to kick some of those goals.
I've just had a revelation, Anne-Marie. Because I also do career coaching and say to people constantly, you need your best stories, you need your best examples.
Yes.
And I don't think I'd quite made the full connection that it's the same.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. And, you know, as coaches, so often we are so well trained in the art of holding that space for our clients, asking just the right question, and then giving space for them to think and so forth. We need to learn to do that within the marketing and within the sales conversation. But so often we feel awkward, don't we? Just like when we're a new coach, we feel like we have to fill the space when there's that silence. But that silence may be for someone who's thinking, considering, and in their mind thinking, yeah, I'm stuck in this. And if we continue to fill the space with content, we'll probably end up talking our clients out of it because we're overwhelming them, you know. So use some of the skills that you've learned as a coach, and it maps beautifully across even into that sales and marketing conversation too.
Yeah, let them experience it. I'm really interested in what you said about don't big note. Is that what you said? That must be an yes. Australian phrase. Yeah. I'm reading a book at the moment, which is amazing and should be compulsory reading for every coach. It's about improv and it's called Improv Your Life by Pippa Evans. And the chapter I've just finished is about status and how we play status games all the time. So I up my status, that makes your status go down. And what you're describing by big note, I think, is when in trying to sell ourselves, we up our status too high. And then there's a huge dissonance between us and the person that we're talking to.
Yes, yes. That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, one of the things, and I'm sure that, you know, coaches may have heard this before, is talk about creating this hero journey. And as we're sharing that story and bringing a potential client along, you want to hold the space for them that they see themselves in that journey, that it's possible for them. And you don't need to big note yourself at all, but rather, you know, as a coach, we are a cheerleader. We can be a mentor, we can be a coach, we can be all of those things. And I think the time, and not that they would do this, but it, as we start to elevate ourselves from that, you know, that authority, but you know, that more of that, what's the word, ego driven. Yeah. As soon as that happens, I think our ideal clients, and we don't like it as ourselves, do we, as consumers? And so, but guess what? You don't need to do that and you shouldn't do that. You just show up as your best self and have that conversation, you know, and our clients will value us for that. And then when you invite them to step forward, if it's right for them, they will.
So what are the common mistakes that you see coaches making?
Well, number one, and this goes back to the message, and so many coaches, and I've seen this in executives too, we don't value enough, or we devalue the experience that we've had, the journey that we've walked, the challenges that we've overcome. And when I say we devalue it, we haven't really truly identified how that can add value to the coaching areas, the modalities that we bring. And as soon as we start to identify, and I call these milestones and markers, we're able to weave this invisible thread of the successes, the challenges that we've overcome. Many of those challenges we're coaching now because we want to support our clients in overcoming what many of us have overcome themselves. You know, we become the coach to help others through that journey. And don't forget that the journey that you went through has also given you insights, strategies, methodologies that you can add to your coaching program or consulting program, if you're doing consulting as well, that is very uniquely your methodologies, your steps. So don't forget to really go through the process and identify what that is first, and then weave that into your message. Because as soon as you do that, your marketing is going to be very different. In fact, it'll create a distinguishable message you will be uncopyable because no one's walked your journey, no one's overcome the challenges, no one's come up with the ideas. You need stories again to share how you came up with it, how it weaves together, how it impacts or can impact your client. And then share that story, you know, share those stories within your marketing message. No one can copy that. And then knowing who your ideal client is, you know, so often I know as businesses and coaches, we've heard you need to know your niche. Some people call them niche or niche, whatever it is. But it is understanding very much what the ideal client is struggling with, so you can speak into that. I think we haven't gone deep enough. We haven't niched enough. And then being able to weave that message together is, and that's right at the beginning of that whole relationship when someone is just starting to get to know, you know, awareness of you as that coach. That's probably some of the first areas that I would encourage coaches to look at.
That's interesting because I'm very averse to niching.
Yes.
And I'm also very averse to tools.
Yeah.
Because actually the coaches that we work with don't do very much in service of the people that they're coaching having real transformation quite quickly. Yeah. Yeah. So there's something about the space that facilitates the insights that coaches who've trained with us have as quite a unique thing. Which is differently unique, as you say, to everybody. Yeah.
And it's weaving. So whatever techniques that you use, there is a technique there in that. But it's not step by step by step. Like, for instance, if it was a career coach, the career coach may be the niche, if we would say, is it's really a focus. Then it may be that you can help many, many people, but because there's so many more businesses or and even coaches that are possibly now in your area and now online, you need to, and I call this the tip of the spear, which was not a term that I came up with, but this was a war analogy. Stay with me here because it will make sense. It said, you know, if you've got an enemy's army, rather than sending your entire army to try and go to battle, like his entire marketing message, just tap into a little corner of the market first, and that is sending, you know, the tip of the spear. And once you've started to get that attention, once you started to open the door and people are starting to know about you and hear about you, then you can expand a little bit. But often as coaches, our marketing message is too broad. Yeah. And so what you want to do is you might think, well, if I think back to some of the clients that I've worked with or maybe some of the experience that I have had in my previous career and experiences, I've worked really well with senior executives who were in the IT industry and they were doing sales. I love that particular demographic, so I'm going to tap into them. Now, how you speak to them and the challenges that they're experiencing are going to be very different from, say, if you're tapping into the market of mums who have just had their second child, you know, and that's different from a mum who has just had their first child. Yeah. So there's different nuances. And if you can tailor your marketing to really hone in on what he or she is struggling with, you'll attract their attention. And the outcome, of course, is what you're focusing on. You won't even need to really know the methodologies and so forth. But what you do share is, like, if it's a busy mum, one of the things in your marketing that you want to do is when we support you, the way we support you, it's not going to take a lot of time so that you've, you know, got too much crammed into your schedule. So your marketing message is tailored to suit the needs and the context, the circumstances of your ideal customer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So it's almost about the tip of the spear needs to be where you already have a head start on credibility.
Yes. Yes.
And that's true, isn't it? That's often where people begin. They begin where they're already trusted with a different skill in that marketplace. And obviously, if you're a mum, then you're trusted. If you're a mum and you have a child, then that's your trust badge.
Yes. And the marketing, the message is really focusing on what's the outcome as well that that particular yeah. person is really looking for? Because obviously they're struggling with that. So if it was someone in the careers, maybe they've sent out hundreds of different applications, they get to the interview and they're stuck. So maybe as a coach, you open that space for them and allow them to unpack some of these incredible stories that they may have neglected. They may have not even thought. If it's a mum, it's a different aspect. So you see, you start talking about that and knowing that you'll help them get clarity to be able to confidently respond to interviews. So you're speaking again to the promise, what I call promise of value and promise of expectation, because at the end of working with you, here's what they're going to be able to achieve. And if it's tied to the outcome that they're desiring, then obviously that is the promise of value and expectation that they'll get through hiring you as their coach.
And you're speaking from a foundation of experience and story.
Yes.
Because one of the things that I notice, so some of the mistakes that I observe and people come and say, oh, I did this, is that people spend too much money too early. So one of the things that I did was when I started my business, I put £500 of my own money into it, and I've never spent any money since then that wasn't earned. So at the yeah. beginning, I wasn't taking much out because most of what was coming in, I was spending on training and whatever, whatever. But yes. there's something about the size of the investment. And the other thing that I noticed that's kind of on the same track really is people who have this huge, I do this, you know, the elevator speech, I do this and I do this. And what I want to say to them, and how many people do you work with?
Yeah. That's because right. I can help you do this. I can help you do that. And by the way, I also do admin work too, if you've got admin. And you've completely detracted because people are thinking, oh, or they've forgotten what you mentioned first. Because, yeah. and this is, I'm glad you brought that up, because this is something that I struggled with too, because, you know, we've told you need to do one thing and one thing only. Well, I love learning, and I was always doing new courses, adding to my skill set, as we do as coaches. But what we often do is we're so excited about the different modalities and the different techniques that we can use. And I've got the best questioning technique, you know, that kind of thing. Clients, now I don't want to offend anyone, but they don't really care, but they do care. How can you help me? How can you help me? And so if you thinking about your ideal client, think about what I call an umbrella statement that is able to bring all of those things together, because that just makes you even more richer as a coach, because you've got a lot of different tools and in your toolkit to be able to leverage with your client. But again, if you've got that umbrella statement, it's again focused to your ideal client. For instance, in the career industry, because not only was I a coach, a job search coach and so forth, I also helped resume writing, interview coaching, that kind of thing. But I said, get noticed, get hired, get paid what you're worth for your dream job, because that was what my ideal clients wanted. That was the outcome. So whether it was resume writing, finding a career, many, you know, my clients had no idea what their values were and what environments were conducive to how they did their best work. So there was a lot of different things, but I was able to tie that all together. And when you speak and you share that umbrella statement, your clients will say, oh, well, I actually want that. So does that mean you can help me with my resume? Can you do interview coaching? So then it's kind of you start off big, and then your client often chunks down and says, well, can you help me do this? Can you help me do that? And that continues the conversation.
So don't say too much too early.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So if there was one thing that people could do as they're starting out that would make the biggest difference, what is it?
Firstly, is to recognize how you can support people and really being clear, not from an arrogant point of view, but from a confidence point of view. And I say that because if we're not able to confidently, and it starts from in here, be able to share our message, our story, and connect with our ideal customer, how will they be able to, how do we expect them to be able to do that? I think it's so important. Just get out there and start sharing that, start having conversations with prospective clients, because confidence will often grow. One of my mentors said years ago, and it's so true, often we wait to build the confidence before we get out there. In actual fact, the confidence will grow through you continuing to get out there. So you need the courage to be able to do that. But get some clarity around that. I mean, obviously, and you said this beautifully before, Claire, if you are going out there and you are practicing, you are having conversations, but you're rattling off a whole, like a shopping list, people are going to get overwhelmed. And what happens as coaches, we often take it to heart, don't we? We feel, oh, people don't want to hire me because I'm no good, you know, that inner chatter. But no, if you get clarity around that, and it's concise, as you're starting to speak to your ideal client, they'll say yes for more conversation and want to know how you can support them. So that would be a really good place to start, I would say.
Conversations.
Yeah, conversations.
Yeah, and that's so different, isn't it? Because often I think what happens is coaches go and meet coaches, and actually the people we need to be meeting. So if my niche is funeral stuff, then I need to be going to where funeral directors meet together, and not to a, so as much as I might go to a coaching conference to up my coaching skill, if I want to pay equal attention to building my business, I need to go to the National Federation of Funeral Directors conference.
Yes. And connecting with people who are circles of influence there. You know, you might do some online connections as well. Because remember, a lot of us coaches, we don't necessarily, we're not necessarily restricted just to logistics. Yeah. Unless, of course, that's an intentional decision that you've made for your business, and that's fine. But you can open up the door to possibilities to connect with people online, find them. You might spend a little bit of time put aside on content creation, some articles that you can share on a website and share that across social media, so that you're also building what I call this thought leadership content, where people can really see that you know what you're talking about, and then through case studies and things like that, as well as continuing, as you said, to network with key stakeholders and people who can get you in front of your ideal customer. Absolutely.
Yes. So there's a tension to be paid there, isn't there?
There is. And speaking, that's right. I mean, and that's what coaches enjoy doing, speaking and asking really great questions. Leverage where you're really strong and see how can I bring this out in a way that's part of my connection process. And when you start doing that with real intention, and that's what I did when I send that message to you. It's like if I was in front of Claire and we were in a networking meeting face-to-face, what would I do? I wouldn't just go up to you and hand business cards and say, would you hire me? There's steps, isn't there? But when you do that with intention, that kind of energy, that'll come through in that content and however you approach.
And I've put into practice a little tippet that you gave me in that first conversation that we had. Thank you for that. It's interesting because one of the things that I've learned is that there's a whole question about can full-time coaches coach full-time. And I so think that we can't, because I don't think we've got the capacity to listen that deeply all day, every day, or however much of the time that we do. So actually, I've always spent about 40% doing development work of my time and 60% doing delivery. And that's really paid off. And that might just be, well, I don't now, but I used to call them strategic coffees. Now it's just coffees with people I like. And I think they are strategic, but just keeping connected with people who will talk about you is a really important thing, as much as finding potential customers.
Oh, it is so important. And what you mentioned there is so, so true about as coaches. And I love batching, you know, batching my conversations, batching when I'm coaching clients. And the reason I do that is because you're absolutely right. We cannot fill our calendar with coaching clients. We will get burned out. That's number one, totally. And secondly, if we're running a business, unless we've got a team that does certain things for us, there are things that we need to do. Have those strategic coffee connections. I mean, I'm now having partnership conversations and alliance and collaborations. You and I had a conversation. I'm being interviewed on your podcast. You're coming on mine. These are the sort of things that happen when we schedule in our diary. I'm connecting in this stage, and from there, we'll see where the conversation flows. If we're not doing that, we're like farmers, really. I use that analogy. The seeds that we plant and we continue to nurture will come, you know, will fruit months, sometimes sooner, but months down the track. So be mindful that you put aside time every single week to nurture, to plant seeds, to nurture.
Can I just share something? I'm going to share something that I learned, which I think I kind of drew from some things I read and then really looked seriously at the kind of contacts that I was having. Because I think that one of the mistakes we often make is that we spend too much time with the wrong kind of people. So I came up with this idea one day when I was thinking about where did our work come from? And actually most of my work, even now, more than 20 years on, was grandfathered, great-grandfathered, great-great-grandfathered, as it were, from one or two or three people. So I call those people angels. So there are people that we know, and we don't have many of them, who will endlessly talk about us.
Yes.
When they meet people, just spontaneously. And that's where almost all the work that 3D coaching does has come from originally. It's come from those three or four, and we've gathered one or two on the way, but we don't have very many. And those people, I think, need a different conversation from the sales conversation. They need a lunch or a online hour where we just kind of catch up with what we're doing. No selling, just they need to know where we are.
Yes.
And then I think there are hubs. So there are people who will open up their address book and say, you could be talking to this and this person, but they won't remember to ever talk about us to somebody when we're not there.
Yeah.
And then there are fans who absolutely think what we do is amazing, but they're never going to talk to anybody. And I think
they're just going to keep it to themselves.
Yeah. And they're lovely. They're lovely people. But I think often we accidentally invest time in the fans because they make us feel good, whereas actually we need to be investing time in the hubs and the angels, and we need to identify who our angels are.
Yes.
and really, really
continue to nurture, set a time in the calendar where you can connect, because you can be a referral partner, and it'll be interesting to get your feedback on that. When you look at your angels, were they also supporting ideal clients that were similar? Have you found that? Was that with your angels too? That often can be the case, where there can be a reciprocal relationship there too.
And I think we jumped sectors.
Yes.
So in the early 2000s, we jumped from the not-for-profit sector into the public sector, and that was entirely through an angel.
Wow.
Who just was in the organization. They were looking for somebody to commission some coaching training, and she said, you really need to be talking to Claire.
Yes.
And then of course we went through the due diligence process and all those things, but actually it was that seed. And now we have a huge amount of work in the public sector.
Yeah.
But if we'd knocked on the door of the public sector, it wouldn't have worked. Can I tell you, this is so funny. So a colleague and I wrote a chapter in a book. So one of the things that we do is we work with clergy in the church. Mm-hmm. And a colleague and I, probably 2001, wrote a chapter in a book, which really should have brought us in work.
Yes.
So we contacted the key people in the church around the UK, saying it with a letter saying, we've just written this book, might be useful, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was a really good letter. Anyway, we didn't get any response at all. None, zero, null.
Yes.
Nothing. But really interestingly, 10 years later, we're working with every single person that we sent that letter to in some way or another, but not through the letter. So the letter did not do it at all. And actually, that was 2 days of our lives that we won't get back, because that wasn't the way to communicate with people in that sector. They needed to hear from others that yes. we were good and trustworthy and useful and all those things. And now yes. we don't do any market. We don't do any development in that sector at all, because the work just flows in.
Yeah. And it takes time. It takes yeah. time, doesn't it, to build yeah. that know, like, and trust. And it is worth it, because if you think of the marketing, and there's different, as you said, and I love the way that you've mentioned this, because it is so important. There are going to be different pots or different areas that you are going to be continuously sowing into. And every area is going to have a different approach. And there are going to be some people where they will come in from something you've shared online, or a podcast interview that you've done, or maybe you've got your own podcast, but it may take a little bit longer to build that know, like, and trust. But if someone is recommending you and said, that person, you need to go to them, there's a factor of trust that is immediately given to you anyway through that recommendation. And I'm also, sure that that's what you found when people yeah. contacted you and said, Claire, you've been highly, highly recommended by this person. And if there's really a lot of trust in that person between those two people, there's aspects of that trust that immediately gets passed to you through that recommendation.
And then in the coaching, you don't need to build trust, because the trust's already there. And then you can get on with really good work really quickly. Transformation yes. comes more quickly. Then they really like it, and then they tell yeah. somebody else.
And then
else.
They continue. You're building people who yeah. become ambassadors and, yeah. and say fans of your work.
Yeah. I really like know, like, trust, because I think, Anne-Marie, what that does is it says this needs to be human to human. And I would say, I don't know if you agree with me, you know, don't waste your time on things that aren't human to human.
Yes, it's so important. One of the things that I'm doing far more intentionally now, Claire, because I realize we live in a very different world than we did 12, 18 months ago. And I'm incorporating more video in how I'm connecting with people, and even in just some of the things that we're doing online. Today I created little mini videos which welcomes people. And the reason I'm doing that is because so many of us have been in lockdown at certain times. We now appreciate, even though it's online, you hear, you see, you experience. And, you know, I even created a little video that just reaches out to people that says, you know, happy birthday. And the response that I'm getting from them, because I, you know, when I recorded it, I had a heartfelt message for them. Happy birthday. I hope your year, even though you might have gone through some challenging things, that everything that you've been working so hard for over the last years comes to fruition. And the feedback that I'm getting from that is it just made my day. And if I, you know, through just 20 seconds can bring a little bit of light into someone's day, then my job is done. And that's human to human, isn't it? That's what it's all about, that people yeah. feel, yeah, valued, because they are valued. Yeah, yeah. We just need to remind them. Yeah.
And that goes back to the power differential and the big note, doesn't it? That actually in the end, we're humans who work with humans.
Yeah. You just don't know what sort of day, what sort of week that someone has had. I just shared something this morning with someone in the message because I saw something and she said, you have just made my day. You don't know how much I needed to hear that.
Wow.
And as coaches, that's why we're coaches, aren't we? We want to help people. And if we sprinkle that along each and every day and just do that in how we, you know, share our message, people will understand that, and we will build yeah. that rapport and that know, like, and trust.
Know, like, and trust. I think that's my takeaway from today, Anne-Marie.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much. So if people want to contact you and find out more, how do they do that?
best way is just to go to my website, annemariecross.com.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well, enjoy your evening, Anne-Marie.
And enjoy the rest of your day. You've got a whole day in front of you, as mine is just about completing. That's the beauty of being on opposite ends of the world. And actually, I always say this to my US counterparts too, and I can say that to you because your day is starting. Your day is amazing. I've already lived it, so I'm, you know, coming from your future, expect amazing things because they're lined up for you today.
That's great. Thank you, Anne-Marie. So I'm Claire Pedrick, and I've been in conversation with Anne-Marie Cross. Bye-bye. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today, please share the podcast with a friend who might also be interested. And if you'd like to become one of our regulars at The Coaching Inn, you can subscribe at Podbean or on iTunes. We look forward to meeting you on the next podcast.
You've been listening to The Coaching Inn. Find out more about us at www.3dcoaching.com.